Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast with your host, Mike Campion. If you are passionate about the cleaning industry, you are in the right place. Love what you hear? Spread the word and tell the cleaning world this is the place to be. Want more? Check out www.growmycleaningcompany.com for free online video trainings, free ebook downloads, free blog posts, and of course, all the podcast episodes. Everything you need to grow your cleaning company is at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. And now, on with the show.
Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast, the place for everything you need to know to grow your cleaning company. If you love the show, and I know you do, be a pal, tell a friend, because I don't start getting fan mail from crazy stalkers, my life will have no meaning. All right, today we are chatting with Evelyn from Express Commercial Cleaning. Express was founded in 2008 with Evelyn, her husband, and mother. Evelyn worked in and on the business for at least 3 years until all while having full-time jobs and then begin acquiring clients, enabling them to hire themselves full-time. Currently, they got 30 employees, and they specialize in janitorial facility maintenance services. If you want to reach out to Evelyn and her team, you can get a hold of them at www.expresscommercialcleaning.com. Evelyn, say hello to Cleaning Nation.
Hi, everybody. Happy to be here. Looking forward to a great show today. Looking forward to really get some great advice.
Happy to have you, my friend. And that's a lot of pressure. Usually I give out adequate to poor advice, but if you want the good stuff, I'll do my best and try and, you know, do something different today. Before we jump into that, I would love to hear a little bit more about you, your family. I mean, that's either terrifying or awesome that you get to work with your husband and your mom. How's that work out so far? Keep in mind, this is public, so don't say anything mean.
Kind of scary at times, kind of, we know when we've hit each other's buttons or pushed each other's buttons, but for the most part, I wouldn't have it any other way. I love my husband, you know, he's the other half of me, literally. So, you know, it makes sense. Like I said, we both know that pushing buttons are pushed and we know how to step away and let me go work on something else, either, you know, out on the field or in our warehouse. And so we kind of know where we're at.
Perfect. All right, now I'm going to ask you a totally unfair question, and if you want to smack me right in the face, that's okay. Which is harder, working with your mom or your husband?
I think working with my husband is harder because, and I'll tell you why, as I think working with my mom, well, number one, we get along great. She is my best friend, so it's a lot of fun. She has an open mentality about learning, so I'm able to teach her a lot. And she makes it fun coming to the office. My husband, on the other hand, just as fun, you know, it makes me laugh here at the office. But again, sometimes we don't necessarily meet on eye to eye on certain things, and that's okay as a business. You don't always have to one person agree with the other. So that's kind of the fun of, okay, well, who's right? Who has a better argument? Not necessarily who's right, but who's got a stronger argument for whatever we're trying to accomplish?
Yeah, and that can be tough because with mom, you get to kind of go home to your separate corners if and when there's any friction. But with your husband, that's the dude you wake up to every morning, so you can't escape.
Exactly. After 5 p.m., you're in the same house.
Yeah, I'm sure most days that's a blessing, but every other day you're like, I could do without this guy in my life for the next couple hours. All right. Well, I would love to hear, first of all, thank you for sharing. I don't know. I think you may be the first husband, wife, mother/mother-in-law team on. So congratulations for that dubious honor. I would love to hear, how did you guys get started? What got you in the business?
We just got started back in 2008. I was in a layoff situation. And so that was really a good time for us to regroup and kind of think about, for me, what do I want to do with my life? Where do I want to go? I've worked at that point, I've had corporate experience working in corporate finance. I have had worked at smaller companies, startup companies. And so I really just thought about what it was that I wanted to do. And I thought about wanting to do something for myself, wanting to just, I got bit by the entrepreneurial bug. And so I just wanted to see what I could do on my own and with the help of my mom, the help of my husband. And so that's kind of where that process started.
So what made you decide, it sounds like you had a lot of opportunities available to you. What made you pick cleaning over, any other business in the universe?
Well, we were looking for something that had, that was economic proof. And when I say that, I really mean a business that wouldn't be hit hard. This was in 2008, so you've got to go back and think about where the economy was, where the U.S. was. And so we were looking for something that fit something along the lines of safe and maintainable. It's something that could grow regardless of whatever was going on in the economic industry, whatever downturn there was in the economy, something that could withstand that. And at that point, service industry like this sounded pretty good, because regardless of what's going on in the economy, customers still have to have their buildings clean. You still want a presentable building, office. And so that's kind of how we landed. We didn't land on just commercial initially. We were looking at residential versus commercial, and we just decided the structure and the growth potential was more on the commercial side.
Okay. Yeah, and another nice thing about cleaning, whether it be residential or commercial, is no matter how cheap it can be done overseas, you really can't sub it out. That's kind of something you need to hire a good old U.S. worker to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fantastic. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story, and both about how you started your company as well as what made you choose this industry and how you got into business with your family. Super exciting. That said, I'd like to return the favor. What one thing can I coach you on today that we can hopefully help you grow your cleaning company?
Sure. One of the things that we've been thinking about lately is how long it took us to get here. We're at 30 employees strong today. We've seemed to have our ups and downs in terms of the employees that we've hired. Some have been really great, some not so much, and then some just needed a little bit of coaching to be, all-star, good-performing employees. And so the challenge for me has been, how do I continue that growth? How do I maintain that growth if I'm only one person, my husband's only one person, my mom's only with us part-time? How do I maintain that growth? What does, if we're at 30 employees today, what does 60 look like? What does 100 need to look like? What folks do I need to have in place? And then obviously with that comes the financial. My background's in accounting, so it's always the numbers. Okay, what do I need to have in place? How many customers? How many square feet a month do I need to have in place before I add on, say, another manager or a GM or, just kind of that ideas help on what that process needs to look like.
Okay, perfect. I love that question. I don't think it's been answered or asked before, and I think that's something that a lot of cleaning company owners out there are struggling with, so I would love to chat with you a little bit on that. It's funny, the first thing that you said was kind of dovetails with exactly what I was going to say is, first and foremost, you've got to know your numbers. A lot of times, whether in the cleaning business or otherwise, owners kind of hit these, I think we talked about this a little bit in the pre-chat, where that 0 to 2 employees is kind of one stage, that 2 to 10 is another, that 10 to about 30 really is another, 30 to 50 is another, 50 to 100. So it just goes on and on. And a lot of times you can kind of sneak by the first to about where you're at, honestly, without really knowing your business. The business owners just get out there and hustle. They don't really know what it costs to acquire a customer. They don't have systems in place to do that in a repeatable, scalable, buildable way. And they just do it kind of by hard work, and they can hit a wall. Oftentimes it'll happen at 10, but where you're at can happen as well. So I think the first key that a lot of people don't have, and it sounds like you do, but I just want to encourage you on this and Cleaning Nation on this, is you've got to know your numbers in terms of what does it cost to acquire a customer? What is the monthly value of that customer, which is easy and most people know that. But more importantly, what a lot of people don't get is what is the lifetime value of that customer and what do my margins look like? So when you're doing stuff like, well, I want to add an operations manager and what's that going to cost? If you don't know your numbers in terms of what are my margins per month per customer and per lifetime value of per customer, it's very, very difficult to make good decisions. You're kind of throwing darts around. Do I buy another van with a truck mount? Do I hire an operations manager? What about an internal accounting person? So long story short, you kind of touched on it. I want to just encourage you. You've got to know your numbers. There's almost no way to grow to the next stage without that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Cool. The second thing is once you've kind of got that system down and you know not only your number but your business, you've got to make sure you understand how one customer works and makes money. A lot of times people will kind of start, or businesses will start with bad habits at the beginning in that foundational 0 to 10 employee stage where they know how to get customers, but they don't really know if they're profitable at that or not profitable. So you've kind of got to get that down where you're comfortable. And then if you just expand that to $1 million a year business, great, you're just doing a lot more revenue and still not making any more money. So you want to make sure your foundation and your business model is firm at, you know, $100,000, $200,000 a year. So when you build it, your profit margins can kind of stay the same, or if they shrink, it's a little bit. But if you don't have margins to start with, when you start having needs like you're talking about intermediary management and just kind of layers where it's not just workers and the owners, you've got to have the margin for it to start with, and then you've got to have a plan to create that margin when you need those. So those don't suck up your margin, you go to zero. So that's the next thing, is you really have to understand your core business of how do we make money? Are we profitable before you decide to add water and grow? So assuming you're there, The next piece is systems. And this is so, so, so key. And again, you can get away with, you know, 10 employees, 12 employees running around, just you telling everybody what to do. And when the fire comes, you put it out. You'll go nuts after about a decade of that, but you can do it. Once you start getting to 30 employees, especially if you've got a partner, you might be able to hold it together, but you get 50, not possible. You will implode personally, professionally. It's just not going to work. So the systems that you put in place are kind of the foundation for that. And I think we've talked about this in other shows. There's really three main things that any business has to do to stay in business, whether it's cleaning or otherwise. First, you've got to sell some sort of product or service. If you can't get customers in the door that have checks or cash in hand, you don't have a business. So that's obviously the first one most people get. You need to attract and convert, attract prospects, strangers into prospects, and convert prospects into customers. The second piece is production, right? You have to provide that product or service that you are offering. And third, which a lot of cleaning companies don't get, and I don't think this is going to be you, Evelyn, is accounting. You need to make sure you understand the numbers. You've got a good way to synthesize all that data into, are we making money per month? Are we making money per customer? Are we making money per employee? So those are kind of the three things. What happens is people get systems generally with the fulfillment of the service. They understand you can't just tell cleaners go in and clean up, right? That there's got to be some sort of top to bottom, left to right, start here, go there, some sort of employee handbook around where to do systems or, you know, how to clean something. They fall short when it comes to the next one. And again, accounting, same thing. People get that they should have it, but oftentimes they don't. And again, the bigger you get, the more that the magnifying glass shines on that. Hey, you don't have any systems here, and you can get stolen from, you can lose money. There's 1,000 really bad things if you don't have systems around accounting. And the last thing is the client attraction. I think that's probably the hardest for business owners to understand, because most of the time, if you built to that 30 employee facility, one of the owners or the owner, that's what they do. They know how to get customers. People like them. They know how to get out there and beat the streets, but they don't know how to take that, I know how to do it, and just work harder and harder and harder to get customers and turn that into a system where they can hand that off to other people, right? Same thing with cleaning. At the beginning, maybe you're cleaning toilets, but pretty early on, you need to hand that off to some other person to clean toilets. Pretty easy to do. Oftentimes, same with accounting. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Did you have I know I've been going for a little. You have a question, comment in the middle here? Evelyn?
No, I was just agreeing with you.
Oh, okay. Oh,
yeah, I was just agreeing with you.
Don't ever let me stop you from agreeing. That's my favorite. So oftentimes what I see in businesses, and you can kind of give me feedback, Evelyn, if I'm on the right path with your business or if it's different, we all get pretty quickly, we need systems around how to clean, and we turn that over pretty early on in our company stage of, I can't clean anymore, I have to hire you to clean. We get that. The accounting, most people get it, and sometimes execution is poor, but at least they understand how important that is. And it's easier to turn that over to an accountant or bookkeeper, because that's a skill similar to cleaning that people understand they can be taught. The problem we have is marketing and sales. We don't know how to create systems, and we can't turn that over as easy as we can the cleaning and accounting. Is that ringing a bell for you guys, or am I off track?
No, I think you hit it exactly there.
Okay, cool. So the quick bit of coaching I'll give you, and we can't go forever, is there's kind of two components to that. There's sales and marketing. A problem I see a lot of small business owners run into is they favor the sales because that's what they're good at. They know how to shake hands, smile, take to lunch, influence people to buy from them. But that's not as systematizable, because it's hard when you're only 30 people strong and I don't know what your revenue is. It's hard to make the numbers work to get a full-time salesperson that you can pay him enough to eat and he doesn't kind of pull your company down. And even if you can make the numbers work barely, that guy better be performing, or that gal, or whoever's in that position. You can't afford a sales team. So that's really precipitous to have one, pretty much the whole, your whole system as well. If Bob shows up and does a good job, we eat. If he doesn't, we starve. And when it's on the owner, that works, right? Because the owner's the owner and they get it done. But when you try and hand over to a single salesperson, that's not good. So the kind of the bridge between those two, instead of just bumming you out, is marketing, is where you and I don't like the word marketing because it's, everyone thinks they know what it means and they all have different meanings. I like client attraction systems. So what you do is you've got to create systems that day in, day out, month in, month out, just like you said, when the economy's good, people are going to pay to get cleaning. But when the economy turns, people are going to pay to get cleaning. You want to have systems that work that same way. So instead of, you had a good, I don't know who does the sales operations in your business, but instead of I had a good month and was able to spend more time on sales and we closed a lot, so we did good last month, but this month I got busy and I didn't have good luck and it went down. And it's just, it's that's very hard to manage that kind of growth. You create systems where you know we've got seven different things going out, whether it's lunch and learns, paid traffic, organic traffic, flyers, direct mail. There's literally dozens of ways, billboards, you know, again, dozens of ways to do that. You've got systems that you know are working, and every month you know, well, I'm going to get between 30 and 40 leads, and between those leads, I'm going to get between 7 and 10 bids, and of those bids, I'm going to get between 2 and 4 jobs, and I can point to where all those things came from, and I've got systems that bring in those leads. So the problem is if you have a salesperson that's really good and no marketing behind them, you're dependent on a guy or a gal that's extremely talented, probably very well compensated, probably really hard to manage, and you're in a precipitous spot for your company. But when you've got a bunch of systems that come out that bring enough leads in, now you can have, I don't want to say any salesperson, but if the salesperson's got 20 leads that have raised their hand and say, hey, I'm very interested in this, please come talk to me to deal with per month, he or she's going to have a lot more success, and it's your company's success is a lot less dependent on that human being. So all that to say, you've got to build systems. A way to do that in the marketing and client acquisition is to put client acquisition systems in place that really set up a salesperson that doesn't have to be a six-figure, high-powered, I can go out and find it and close it and do everything on my own. You can just find someone that can respond to the warm leads that you've generated through systems. I know I went really fast, but it was a big question. Questions, comments, rude remarks?
None. I think you hit a couple of different points that for us, we'll have to go back and go through. The process thing is a big thing, and I think that's a big piece that we have. There's some things that we have a process in place for. There's some things that require, you know, some more strategic thinking than others. So I think it's just really opening up my eyes and my thought process on some of the things that we're doing internally that we're not going to be able to do when we're 100 employees or you know, for some positive way, we get to, I don't know, 200 employees. And so it's just a matter of being able to maintain the growth and to put a plan in place for that growth. And what is that going to look like when you're 200 employees?
Yeah, and that's really good foresight on your part to understand what works at 10 doesn't work at 30, what works at 30 doesn't work at 60. And extrapolate that out. So you definitely want to start planning and making that foundation now, so you don't wait till it's just an absolute mess and you've got 80 people running around with no systems, no processes. The ship's kind of big and hard to steer at that point. Even with 30, it's small enough, it's a lot easier to steer, and you can kind of make those changes on the fly far easier than you will be able to down the road. Okay, cool. There's one extra piece of that I'm going to hit you with right before we go to the lightning round. So the systems are a huge, huge part, especially in that kind of 30 to 100 place. The foundation that needs to be under that will make these systems run is mission, vision, values. Specifically, you know, mission's kind of knowing where you're going. Same with vision, you know, what the purpose of your company is, where you're going. The values is what I wanted to hit on for where you're at right now. Core values are huge. They're kind of the rules that you play by. So no matter how good your systems are, there's always going to be some time where some employees, probably multiple times a day, are going to have to make a decision on their own. It's not covered in the system. A customer says something. It's not systematized. Your employee doesn't know the system. At some point, you're going to have to trust somebody or a lot of people when you start growing to make decisions on their own without a system to back them up. the safety net under that tightrope is core values. So for me, for the last decade of my businesses, they've been have fun, make money, be real, and help out. So the cool thing is, anytime an employee found themselves, and this is top six-figure executive down to minimum wage, you know, guy cleaning up or answering the phones, the core values were always a thing. If they could tell me, I made this decision, and here is how I thought it exemplified or strengthened our core values, even if I disagreed with that decision they made, which rarely would I still could support them. So that really is, for us, is important. You've got to define what your core values are, what the rules that you're going to play this game by are, and you want to make sure that that's really loud and you're marketing both to your customers, to your employees, so you attract people both that you're paying and that are paying you that share those core values. There's nothing harder than trying to instill core values in another human being. It's not possible. There's nothing easier, but it is far easier and far more enjoyable to stoke those core values that they already share with you, right? The company, the people came around me, wanted to have fun, wanted to be real, wanted to make money, and it was easy just to get them fired up about that. So when they didn't have a system to fall back on, they fell back on the core values. So I just want to encourage you, the systems are probably 70% of it, but without the foundation of those core values, you're still going to run into trouble.
Okay, that makes sense.
Cool. Questions, comments before we hit the lightning round?
No, I don't think I have any.
All right, fantastic. We'll do lightning round. I'm going to give you three quick questions. You're going to share three nuggets of wisdom with Cleaning Nation. Question one, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Best piece of advice that I've received, I would have to definitely say learn from your mistakes. I know it's a lot easier to say than to put into place, but it really is true. For example, you know, getting burnt out with employees that you've given one chance or two chances and they've consistently let you down, learn how to cut those ties off quickly, sooner than later, because most oftentimes people that have let you down once will let you down again.
Okay, that's fantastic. And I've always said, smart people learn from their mistakes. Geniuses learn from other people's mistakes. So that leads perfectly into our second question for the lightning round. What's the biggest mistake that you've ever made in the cleaning business that we can learn from?
The biggest mistake is, I think it's human nature to get complacent with just anything in general. But I think as a business owner, not getting yourself complacent with contracts, customers that you have in place. Your employees may get a sense of complacency because it's so routine, and that's the nature of our business. You go in, day in, out, do the same thing. But over time, depending on that person, like I said, it's human nature. So they're going to start cutting corners. They're going to do things a little bit different than perhaps they were trained. So just as a business owner, understand that and then, you know, put plans into place so that doesn't happen. Maybe increase the number of visits, change the dates of the visits that you're going to, and just keep it always surprising so that they know that at any given time, regardless of what I'm doing, I could have a surprise visit, and it could be the supervisor, the manager, or the owner stop by.
Love it. I think that is excellent, excellent advice. Last question. What's the most actionable item owners of cleaning companies can put into practice today before they go to bed to improve their lives and or their business?
Before they go to bed, I would have to say let go of whatever happened that day. Every day is a new day. Every day is an opportunity for you to wow somebody or make somebody happy or make their day or solve their problems. Even if today went horribly and I did these things wrong and someone let me down, when I go to bed at 9, 10 o'clock, it's an opportunity to reset, rewind, and then just wake up the day after with a fresh start, a fresh note, and look for that to be your opportunity to make, you know, three customers happy.
Couldn't agree more. I think a short memory is a small business owner's best friend. Evelyn, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for sharing your passion and your desire to grow. I appreciate you. Cleaning Nation appreciates you. If you want to check out Evelyn's show notes page and discover everything you need to know to grow your cleaning company, go to www.growyourcleaningcompany.com. You can leave your questions, your comments, your rude remarks. I will see you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer, Natalie, at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.